Hi, this is Beth Joan Shaw with Spirit of Success, and welcome to First Things First, a weekly devotional for businesswomen who desire God's guidance as we seek to honor Him with our businesses. We meet by teleconference each week on Monday mornings to hear a word from the Lord and to encourage each other in prayer. Well, I had a stress test last Friday. That might not seem big to you, but it was big in my world. It was just a regular treadmill kind. My cardiologist just wanted to check on the health of my heart and to see that all was going well. You know, I had never had a stress test before, so I have to confess, the days leading up to it, I was nervous. I was a little anxious. I prayed throughout the week. I asked God to go before me, to be in control of my thoughts, to help me not to make a mountain out of a molehill, to remind me to be anxious and nothing. But there was in the back of my mind the thought of, well, what if? What if the test shows I have a blockage? What if that means I need a stent? What if I have to have surgery? Yes, my amygdala were starting to work overtime. You might ask, what is amygdala? Well, if you're following along in our book by Max Licato entitled Anxious for Nothing, the chapter we just read, chapter 4, Max Licato teaches us about amygdala. Our amygdala, he tells us, live in our brains just under our temples, either side of our temples, or either side of our heads and our temples. Their purpose, the amygdala, is to be our, he says, unconscious alarm system that prompts our bodies to get ready to take action, to react to a threat or a danger. Our amygdala are important to us because they prepare our bodies to react. And that's good, except when we don't give them a rest, meaning when we're constantly anxious, or as the author said, perpetually anxious. When we're perpetually anxious, our amygdala have to work overtime. As Max Licato writes about this on page 52 of his book, in the middle of that page, he writes, perpetual anxiety is the mental alarm system that never quite turns off. Now, he writes, limited anxiety is helpful because we need to be alerted to danger. What we don't need is to live in a state of high alert. And here's why. God created our brains to replenish themselves with natural mood elevators and tranquilizers like dopamine and serotonin. These restore joy and peace. But if the amygdala never stop, the natural tranquilizers never have an opportunity to do their work. The brain never resets. We become edgy, unsettled, and restless. That, he writes, is the bad news. But the good news is God can calm our amygdala. And he may very well use the words of the Apostle Paul to do so. He writes, Paul urges us to rejoice in the Lord always in Philippians 4:4. Not just on paydays, Fridays, good days, or birthdays, but rejoice in the Lord always. You aren't the first to read the word always and arch an eyebrow. Rejoice in the Lord always, he asks. Well, most of us at one time or another have probably questioned Paul's words to rejoice in the Lord always. And when we question them, it's good to remember people like Joseph. Max Licato reminded us of Joseph's life in this chapter as an example of one who had constant challenges, constant stressors. Yet he stayed truthful and faithful and trusted God to be faithful when God didn't feel near. Joseph knew the betrayal of his brothers, which led to him being sold into slavery. And then you might remember he was carted off to a foreign country where he was unjustly thrown into prison. Not once, but twice. And then he was accused of sexual assault. Again, he was completely innocent. But no matter, he was still thrown in jail. Yet Joseph never gave up his trust in God through all of that. Instead, as challenges grew, he grew nearer to God with every challenge, because Joseph continued to remember God's sustaining power and faithfulness. Our author writes this on page 55. Distant, removed, not God. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together, Colossians 1:17 writes. Were he to step back, the creation would collapse. His resignation would spell our evaporation. For in him we live and move and have our being, Acts 17:28 records. Because of him, the water stays wet and the rocks remain firm. The laws of gravity and thermodynamics don't change from generation to generation. With his hand at the helm of creation, spring still follows winter. Winter follows autumn. And there is an order to the universe. He sustains everything. Yes, that is the God that Joseph served, even in the midst of his most difficult days, when it looked like he had been completely forgotten. And that is the same God we serve today, the one who sees us and knows us and loves us and is working every moment, even at this moment, on our behalf. God has not forgotten us. Our author writes this on page 56. God is the one who causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous, as recorded in Matthew 5:45. He feeds the birds and watches the sparrows, as recorded in Matthew 6:26. God is the one in charge of everything, even the details of our lives. God sustained Joseph through every detail of Joseph's life. And we read this on page 57. Our author writes, years later, Joseph would tell his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children," as recorded in Genesis 50, verses 20 and 21. He writes two words at the heart of this passage, reveal the heart of providential hope, but God. You intended to harm me, but God. What was intended as harm became good. Why? Because Joseph kept God in the middle of his circumstance. He goes on to write, Joseph viewed the sufferings of his life through the lens of divine providence. He asks, can I urge you to do the same? Because if you don't, anxiety will stalk you every day of your life. He goes on to write, God's sovereignty, on the other hand, bids us to fight the onslaught of fret with the sword that is etched with the words, but God. The company is downsizing, but God is still sovereign. The cancer is back, but God still occupies the throne. He goes on to write, I was a jerk during the first years of my marriage, but God showed me how to lead a family. I was anxious, troubled, but God has been giving me courage. Oh, ladies, fill in your own worry and then write boldly across it, but God, and stand firm in that truth. No matter what you're facing, no matter what worry, challenge, anxiety, boldly speak the words, but God, but God. And stand firm in that. I was anxious about that stress test last week, but God was by my side, giving me the energy I needed to climb the hill and finish that test. And not only did God get me through the test, he went further. My cardiologist said he didn't know what I'd been doing, but my test results were completely clear of problems and furthermore were what they would expect for a 46-year-old woman. Now, that's been two decades since I've seen 46, so that was truly a miracle. You know, tears welled in my eyes when the doctor said the results were excellent, because I knew it was God reassuring me that he was with me all the way. I was anxious about the what-ifs, but God had other plans. Oh, have you been anxious about many things? Oh, God stands ready to show you his sustaining power and providence, no matter your circumstances. Well, thank you for listening, and I pray that you received a word from God today that will encourage you and equip you to do your work as unto the Lord. And if you would like to participate in our weekly live First Things First Telebible study time, just email me, Beth@spiritofsuccess.com. Thank you, and God bless.